Welcome to the podcast series, Interest Rates with Mates, with Colin, Todd, Sean, Jody, and Sarah.
Do you recognize that one?
Is that what you're playing this morning?
Mythbusters.
I was going to say Mythbusters.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of my favorite programs growing up.
Here I was thinking you were in your office this morning listening to a bit of Spotify.
Well, it was technically on Spotify. Mythbusters was a great program, and it literally is about busting myths that are out there. And we're going to do
great
the same. And we're going to do the same for brokers, because there's a few probably misconceptions out there that we get asked quite a bit, and so what a good topic to start with.
Perfect.
I think it's a great topic.
One of the main ones is that I've heard is that us brokers are only sort of here for people with bad credit. Do you get that quite a bit?
Yeah. No, we do, which we're not, obviously.
No, the exact opposite. Yes, we've got lenders on our panel that, you know, can look at people with bad credit. And I think people sort of, you know, they go to the lender that they've been with for years and years and years, and they might get declined, and then they come to brokers because they think that's what we're here for.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, like, I've been doing this job for 20 years, and when I first started mortgage broking back in the day, there was 21, 22%, I think the number was, of all people went to a broker. So brokers are very unheard of. There was a misconception there maybe that brokers – maybe acted in that way in terms of only sort of approached the banks with bad credit, et cetera, and everyone had that relationship with their bank, where now you look at the percentage, I think it's 72 or 73%.
It's over 70%.
So there's obviously more confidence now in brokers being that that person of choice, you know, where they can come and see a broker regardless of your scenario and get the advice or the choice that they need moving forward.
It's been a nice slow organic growth too. I remember when I first started, we were sort of approaching that 50%. It was like high 40s.
Yep.
And then, 50, 60, and now over 70%. So, it's really good, slow organic, sustainable growth.
It sort of goes up around 1 to 2, 1 to 3% per year.
Yep.
But they're tipping that to go to 90%, which I know other countries in the modern world anyhow that use mortgage brokers are sitting somewhere around the 90%. In fact, there was one country, it might have even been maybe the Netherlands, it was like 98% of all new loans were through brokers.
Yeah.
Wow. Another misconception is we only choose lenders based on commission.
Yeah, well, pretty much all our lenders are a flat commission now anyway. They're all pretty much across the board. But even still, from a like a non-conforming lender, like clients with bad credit, yes, we do have those options, and yes, we do write loans with non-conforming lenders, but it probably makes up 1% of the total loans we do.
Not even that. I don't think it'll probably make up between 0 and 1%.
So less than 1%. And obviously, we'll always try to place clients with a lender that's best for them. Well, we have to by law, like best interest duty, we have to place a client with the lender that's in their best interest. But also too, like from a sustainability point of view, there's no point us writing a loan with a lender with a higher interest rate, because within 2 years, they'll see that rate wasn't in their best interest. They'll refinance and then we'll get clawed back. So, we are always working in our client's best interest because sustainably that is best for us over the long term as well, because that client's going to stay sticky to us and refer their friends and family to us.
It's a good question, because I had this question probably at the start of the year actually from a client who said, what do these lenders pay you? And I actually didn't know.
No, me neither.
Because I actually had to go and look in our encyclopedia, that the licensee gives us, because I didn't know. And I think the important thing on the back of that question, Sean, is that, I suppose a lot of brokers, they don't recommend based on commission. I mean, if I hadn't gone and been asked that question, I wouldn't have gone back and even had a look. Yeah. Like, we based our recommendation around, like what Todd said, best interest duty and a lender that's going to be able to get the approval out for our client, based on what they were requiring at that point in time.
Yeah. And they all pretty much pay the same percentage regardless.
Yeah, it's around that 0.6. And that's when I get asked a question, which is quite rare, I'm always like, look, I honestly don't know. Like, it's around 0.6. It varies from like 0.58 to 0.62. But I honestly, I couldn't sit there and tell you what X particular yeah. lender pays us.
Well, like, relatively the same. And before the Royal Commission, there were a lot of lenders, including some major lenders too, that paid ramped up commissions. Mm. So the longer the customer had the loan, then the more commission you would receive. So no doubt there was brokers that would have maybe, you know, gone down that path. And that's one of the reasons why the Royal Commission removed that incentive, you know. But even back then, like, I didn't even recommend based on that either. So it was all around, you know, what bank was going to get the customer the outcome that they were seeking.
Yeah, we're in it for the long run, right? Yeah. If we were writing loans at banks that paid us the most commission, we wouldn't be around for long.
Oh, not at all. Like, yeah, the world it's like how businesses no. yeah. is modeled. Yeah. So.
Another myth is brokers aren't as knowledgeable as bank officers.
Well, a lot of brokers come from the bank.
That's right.
So, look, I mean, I've worked in a bank.
Me too.
And look, I quite enjoyed it, but I wanted to expand my knowledge, to be honest with you, by being on the other side of the fence. And I think now that we've got access to 60-plus lenders, you learn every single day. Like, I've been doing this for 20 years just in terms of broking and banking for nearly 30 years. And every single day, every single week, I'm learning something new. You know,
I think it's the relationships that we've got with each lender as well. Like, we've got BDMs that actually come to our office and sit down here for a day and we discuss deals.
Yep.
We've got access to credit managers who we can submit, you know, applications to get signed off and then lodge it.
Yep.
We've had deals won in the past where the client has been to the bank directly and we've gone back to that same bank.
Yep.
Reworkshopped it and got it approved.
Yeah.
So it's not that we've got access to knowledge 100%. It's just we've got more variety to choose from.
Yeah. Like, no disrespect to branch lenders. No, like they do a great job. It's just their hands are tied in most cases. Yeah. We've got the options. You know, we've got 60 different banks with 60 different suites of policy, so we've just got a lot more options.
I've got this, in fact, a question. I was on a podcast actually, and a question was raised to me about 2 or 3 weeks ago around who should use a broker. And my response was everyone.
Yep.
Because I think it's so important these days to have choice. You know, there's that much variety on the market these days. It's not just your four major lenders that play in this space anymore. You've got 80, 90 plus lenders in the Australian market. Some are branch-based lenders, some are online lenders, some are digital lenders. You know, so there's a lot of there's a lot of choice there, and I think it's important to deal with a broker these days who has more knowledge than just the person you might be dealing with at the bank. And like Todd said, there's no disrespect to the bank managers or the bank lenders, but I think having choice these days, why wouldn't you give yourself that chance to save money?
Clients are only interested in closing deals. That's what I had a bit of a Google on, and it isn't the exact opposite here because we're big advocates for pre-approvals. We're sort of doing, 10 a week?
Oh, at least. I mean, just in our pipeline meeting this morning, there was probably 10 or 15 there,
yeah,
you know, in terms of pre-approval. So we do quite a lot per week.
And if we can't do a pre-approval now, then we're always, you know, helping the client to make a plan to, you know, whether that be 6 months, 12 months to achieve their goals.
Yeah.
Most other brokers, in some case lenders, we have a look at the deal and say, that's not going to settle in a couple of months, so it's not for me.
Yeah.
Whereas we're the exact opposite.
Well, I mean, how many times do we get a client come to us that has been somewhere, might be the bank directly or another broker, who has been referred away from that business because they didn't want to do a pre-approval and maybe the loan size was too small.
Yeah.
So we've done loan sizes for people that need $100,000. Like, we're not a transactional-based brokerage. Like, we're actually a relationship-based brokerage. Yeah. I've always made that very clear. So any client that needs any form of finance, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, it's based on a relationship for us. So.
And our annual reviews speak volumes for that too. Yeah. Like, you know, we have dedicated staff here that just get in touch with our existing clients' lenders to negotiate better rates, to keep that client sticky to us and to provide that ongoing service. So, yeah, we're definitely not transactional.
Well, that was my next one, is going directly to the lender is going to get me a better rate. Not necessarily.
No, I don't think so. I think, there might be no channel conflict anyhow. But generally, if you're going to see a bank, they hardly ever negotiate price up front until they know you're dealing with someone else. But I think we can get better rates in most cases anyway, because we know the market, we know the landscape, we know what lenders are obviously offering. There's our knowledge that we're talking about, and we'll go to the bank that's, you know, it's going to be in the customer's best interest.
And the bank never calls you 12 months down the track and says, "Oh, your rates creeped up. We're just going to reduce it for you." That only happens after they've spoken to us to refinance. We lodge a discharge authority. Then all of a sudden, their bank wants to be their best friend.
Correct.
Fees. It's another big one. Brokers charge fees. That's another myth that we're going to bust today.
Yeah, so this is something I've been coming across a little bit lately, actually. I've had two clients just in the last probably 2 months. The first one, the client met with the broker, charged them $1,000 upfront fee. Didn't even get them approved. Had the meeting and said, really? Yeah, you qualify. I'm going to lodge an application. And then changed their mind and said, actually, no, sorry, you don't qualify. So no, they had a really poor experience because after they had the meeting, they went and signed the contract, 14 days finance. Turned out that they were told that they could borrow more than what they could. Anyway, the client got referred to me. I said, look, I'm really sorry. I can get you approved, just not quite for that level. Anyway, they were happy with that. She was worried we're going to charge them another fee. I said, no, we don't charge fees. Like, I understand some brokers do. That's totally up to them, but we definitely don't charge any fees.
Yep.
Anyway, turned around, got them approved at the correct lending level that they could afford, and they went and found a property at the right purchase price, and they've settled now. That was the first one. But then I just had another client only a couple of weeks ago, referred to me by an existing client of mine, actually. They were just having a conversation, two friends having a conversation, and the one that's about to buy just mentioned that the broker was charging them a fee. This was more than $1,000. This was quite a large fee. And the reason was because they're buying in regional Queensland, the loan amount was only like $200,000+. So because the loan amount was so small, they were going to charge them a fee. So anyway, we won that deal as well, purely because I said, look, we don't charge a fee. Like,
and to be clear too, the broker charging a fee for service doesn't mean they're going to get you a better rate or anything that we can't do, or any broker can do that doesn't charge a fee for service. So yeah, no, look, I mean, I'm hearing it's creeping into the market more and more and more, you know, brokers charging a fee for service, but you definitely won't ever get that here.
No.
Look, I can understand if it's a really, really complex deal. Like, I can understand some brokers, you know, it's always their right. They do have the right to charge a fee, and ultimately it's up to the client. Do they want to pay that, or do they want to get a second opinion? That's totally okay. But just get that second opinion, because we will not, like, I'm doing a $20,000 top up at the moment for an existing client. It's about that ongoing relationship and service.
Yeah,
that's 100%. What we care about.
Yep.
Probably the last one that I want to bust is that brokers take longer as we are the middleman.
Incorrect. I think you said it a second ago, because we write so much volume here, we get fast lane with most banks. Most weeks we'll turn deals around, applications around within 1 to 2 days. As long as the client's sort of committed in terms of getting their paperwork and online fact find completed, there's been stories just in the last couple of weeks that I can think of where we've had approvals within 2 to 3 days. So it can happen relatively quickly.
And it's the process we've got here as well. So we've got team members in different, we see the client that get passed to the client service manager who actually prepares the deal.
Yep.
And then once it's approved, it goes to the settlements coordinator rather than the broker having to do absolutely everything. And I think that's where some, deals with other brokers or lenders can get delayed.
Yep.
It's because they're just trying to manage absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Whereas we've got a team that manages individual departments.
Yeah, there's a person that manages, there's three or four different people that help manage the process, for that application. And it's just making sure that we have a straight through processing relationship, with our customers.
Mm. So brokers aren't that bad, are we?
No. And that's the reason why our market share's grown, though, to be honest. Like, yeah.
Yep. And then, so there is a lot of myths out there about brokers. And that's sort of what we're trying to advocate is, we've got access to 60 lenders. We've got fast approval processes. We've got access to credit managers, BDMs, interest rates, pricing. So all of these things, these are getting you across the line.
Everything, yeah. So maybe if you're a listener and you haven't used a broker before, you can bust the myth yourself and get your call.
That's right, absolutely.
Obligation-free.
Obligation-free and no fee.
Absolutely no fees, ever.
Ever. All right, thanks, gentlemen. We'll see you next fortnight.
Have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. All of these episodes are available to download for free wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, take care.